Hey, Future of Everything listeners. Today's episode is about bringing wireless charging to electric vehicles by electrifying the roads they drive on. And we want to know, would wireless charging convince you to get an EV? Why or why not? Email us at foepodcast@wsj.com. At some point in every driver's life, they've probably hit a moment when their car runs low on gas while on the road.
Oh no, where's the gas station?
And if you're driving an electric vehicle, it can be even more nerve-wracking. Chargers can be hard to find in some places. And if you do find one...
What do you mean this charger's broken?
They aren't always working. Or they may take a long time to top off the battery.
Sorry, honey, it's gonna be a while longer.
But what if that electric car didn't have to go on a hunt for a charging station and could simply change lanes?
Low battery.
Whoops. Let's merge over to the top-off lane.
Wirelessly charging an electric vehicle sounds like science fiction, especially if you think about an EV recharging while in motion. But the technology that could make that possible actually exists and is being tested on roads around the world.
You put the coil underneath the road surface, and then under your vehicle, you have a secondary coil. So that's like your phone. And everything is totally invisible on the roads.
Stefan Tonger is Vice President of U.S. Business Development at Electrion, an Israeli company that's working on ways to wirelessly charge electric vehicles as they drive by embedding copper coils beneath the asphalt. Last year, Electrion installed its technology as part of a test on a stretch of road in Detroit. And Tonger says wirelessly charging a moving car could all but eliminate the range anxiety that EV drivers can have about their car batteries.
If you now wirelessly charge these vehicles with an electric grid underneath, then you solve the issue. So you're able to charge multiple vehicles and it orchestrates naturally with the vehicle, like the infrastructure and the vehicle talk in a seamless way.
It's all thanks to inductive charging. And while electric vehicles are a lot larger than smartphones or earbuds, the battery technology is essentially the same.
It's exactly like cell phones, but on sort of a grander scale.
Jennifer Hiller covers renewable energy and EV charging for the Wall Street Journal.
You basically get rid of the plug and energy flows through a magnetic field. Instead, you would have maybe something built into the ground, or you could just have a mat. You would drive your car over it and park there, and it wouldn't have to be perfectly precise or anything. Essentially, you park, and when the car needs to charge, it can start a charging session.
I have to say, it is kind of funny to talk about this, considering how many EV manufacturers only recently agreed on some common standards for their charging plugs.
We've got three in the U.S. right now that is really narrowing to two, and then perhaps to one with the Tesla connector. But you've got a lot of consumer confusion about what that means.
But Jennifer says the industry is already eyeing a cable-less future for electric vehicles, at least for while they're parked.
One of the complaints that you hear about the EV charging industry is that the cords can be a little bit heavy and awkward to navigate, especially if you are disabled or elderly. If you had a large number of cars that you needed to charge, this could be easier infrastructure to put in and manage. But also, if you have autonomous vehicles, there's not going to necessarily be anybody there to plug them in to charge back at the depot.
The convenience factor is a big one. But Stefan Tonger from Electrion says wireless charging has the potential to reshape how we think about powering vehicles on a fundamental level.
Essentially, it challenges the dominant business model of internal combustion engines and how we are fueling up our cars if we now bring the fueling to the road.
From the Wall Street Journal, this is the Future of Everything. I'm Danny Lewis. How would the ability to wirelessly charge an EV as it drives transform the industry and the way we travel? And what route should we take to that future? Stick around.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. ArmorAll, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
In order to get to how electric roads could one day charge moving cars, we first need to talk about EV batteries. So let's start with a little 101 on how they work and why they're so different from the gasoline that has traditionally powered cars. Using gas or diesel is relatively simple. Fill up the tank, the fuel mixes with air, ignites, and expands. That energy moves pistons and ultimately turns the vehicle's wheels. But lithium-ion batteries, like those found in EVs and smartphones, generate power by continuously separating and reuniting atoms and their electrons. That's what generates emission-free electricity to power the EV's engine. But it's when it comes to batteries that electric power runs into some tricky problems.
The challenge for electrification is energy storage. We simply can't compete with gasoline.
Reagan Zane is the director of the Aspire Research Center at Utah State University. Researchers there study and test a variety of technologies related to electrifying vehicles and making EV charging easier and more efficient, including Electrion's roadway charging system.
Battery energy storage on a vehicle is a significant challenge when you need to store this amount of energy because of the weight of the vehicle, because of the range anxiety, and then, of course, because of the cost of that battery.
In order to store and release comparable amounts of energy as gasoline or diesel, electric vehicles need really big, heavy batteries. The more energy storage needed, which usually means longer range, the bigger the battery and the longer it takes to recharge.
Even if we could charge our batteries very fast, that's just pushing the challenge onto the electric utility. Now, anytime you stop to charge, you suddenly require this high power.
EV manufacturers and the U.S. government are working on building out the country's network of fast charging stations, so-called Level 3 or DC fast chargers, like the Tesla superchargers at highway gas stops. You know, the white pylons with a big red hole in the middle. Those use very high voltage to top off batteries in 30 to 45 minutes. Then there's the most common Level 2 chargers. A lot of EV owners have them installed in their garages, and they run a lot slower. Level 2 chargers can take hours to top off a car battery. They're much less taxing on the power grid, but Reagan Zane says that isn't feasible for every vehicle that could go electric in the years to come.
Let's talk about trucks. A typical skyscraper in a big city is a few megawatts of power to keep operating that skyscraper. One truck is going to require multiple megawatts for a fast charge, let's say in 20 or 30 minutes. And if you have a truck stop, you know, with 15 or 20 trucks charging at a time, you can start adding up the numbers and realize truck stops are going to become the large-scale substations of utilities if this is the progression we go down.
Also, the more you fast charge lithium-ion batteries, the faster they wear out. Zane says topping EV batteries off a little bit at a time with wireless charging could help them hold a bigger charge for longer, which gets back to what Stefan Tonger from Electrion said earlier about rethinking how we approach fueling our vehicles.
Everybody doesn't have a charger at home, right? And the roads are there anyhow. What if you can monetize and actually transform the roads into charging assets?
Obviously, it would be really difficult to refuel a moving car with gas. But Tonger says it would be relatively easy to recharge an electric car on the go with some additions underneath the roadway.
It's a copper coil enclosed in a rubber material. As you mill and resurface, you only do that for like an inch and a half, 2 inches. And so we have placed the coils 4 inches underneath, so you don't hurt or touch the coils when you do that.
Tonger says Electrion wants to be able to retrofit EVs with a wireless charging receiver for upwards of $1,000. And the goal for installing the roadway charging system is to get the cost to about $1.2 million per mile. For context, the Federal Highway Administration estimates it costs about $787,000 per mile to resurface one lane of an urban interstate highway. Installing the chargers would require ripping up the street and installing the coils before laying down fresh asphalt. But Tonger says it could be done as part of routine road maintenance.
We integrate this already in an existing road construction project. This is an incremental cost because you're bringing the equipment already to mill and resurface. You just go a little bit deeper and you put in the coils in our management units.
Electrion has actually installed these power systems underneath active roadways in several countries as pilot projects, including its first project on public roadways in the U.S., in Detroit's Corktown neighborhood, where they're testing out the technology right now in partnership with the Michigan Department of Transportation.
In total, it's a one-mile project, and we installed now the first quarter of a mile. We have a shuttle that will operate in the area, moving people from a parking structure to buildings, and do like a loop, so we'll be able to charge in motion, but also when it drops off folks. And then on the next street, which is Michigan Avenue, that's more a transit corridor. So we're working now with the state to integrate our solution in that road construction project as well with buses.
Tonger says once the system is up and running, each coil will automatically turn off and on as vehicles outfitted with a compatible receiver drive above. He says it's just like using a MagSafe iPhone charger, one of those cables that works through a magnetic puck stuck to the back of the phone, only, you know, without the cable, and it can activate rapidly.
It's milliseconds, it happens seamless, very fast, and we've also done testing where we have driven more highway speed.
He says the system would also work well for roadways where vehicles are moving slower, or even idling. Like busy intersections on urban streets, or when taxis are waiting for their turn to pick up fares at an airport, or even roads that handle a lot of traffic.
Take the port of Long Beach or LA, where I live here. Well, now you can slow drive and you can charge these vehicles.
Tonger says because the coils turn off and on as cars drive over them, it's a safety feature, because they don't continuously generate electric fields that could harm people or animals. It's also part of the company's future business model, another part of the system that he compares to a smartphone.
If you know today, you go to the store and you buy this iPhone, you need to put in a SIM card, right? Then you need a subscription. It's the same thing that will happen here. You need to have some sort of model where you will only charge for what you use on this road. But if you're not identified as an authorized user, you won't be able to activate the system even.
And the Detroit pilot project could help pave the way in Michigan and beyond by helping all the players, including government agencies and power utilities, build a framework for future electric roadways that better serve everyone, from drivers to the grid itself.
I think we're in a moment of transition that if you drive a vehicle, it makes things easier. And that is the big promise that we're seeing right now.
But that's still a big promise for technology that has yet to be rolled out to the public at large. So how might electric roadways and wireless charging go mainstream? And what will it take to get there? That's after the break. An electric car that never needs to stop to recharge the batteries might feel like a fantasy. But it hasn't been that long since it was a reality of sorts for lots of major U.S. cities.
There are streetcars.
Remember Regan Zane from Utah State University's Aspire Center?
Streetcars are the power lines up above, delivering power as the vehicle is operating. And because of that, they don't have that middleman, the energy storage.
He studies electrifying vehicles. And he says lots of modern cities phased those wired streetcars out for good reasons.
We can't have, you know, the high power, high voltage lines, you know, touchable on the road or overhead, crisscrossing all roads. There are real challenges in having that be the full solution.
Or, for another example, think about bumper cars, which all have poles connecting them to an overhead power grid. But when time's up and the attendant shuts off the power, fun's over. Electrifying every single roadway to provide wireless EV charging would be a pretty expensive and complicated proposition. Where would you start? Zane has an idea. Go big. The U.S. interstate highway system.
That's only about 3% of our paved roads, but a very significant set of roads connecting our cities. Even if we had that, we would need enough battery storage on vehicle to operate, get to work, get home, but we wouldn't need the energy storage to go from city to city.
Goodbye range anxiety. Why lug a big battery that can power your vehicle for hundreds of miles if the roads themselves can constantly top off a smaller power cell while you drive? Zane says that would have cascading effects for how EVs are made and used.
The vehicle would weigh less, meaning it requires less energy to move it per mile. You would have a relatively small battery, maybe 100 miles at most for most people. That means that the cost of the vehicle is relatively low. We could have $10,000, $15,000 electric vehicles. For fleets, for trucks, It's the same story, but now the numbers are much bigger.
In this future, electric big rigs could be constantly charged as they barrel down the highway, thanks to roads powered by solar panels, for instance, carrying more cargo for less money than they would have if the semi-trucks only relied on battery power. Another model for how wireless charging could change the way we drive could be starting small.
In industrial use, it's much, much more useful.
That's Magnus Wold, the chief commercial officer of NREX, a Norway-based company that is developing wireless charging systems for electric vehicles.
If you think about the warehouse, for instance, where you have a forklift that is going and it wants to go 24/7 and it's automated, why should it stop for charging? If you make the floor electric instead, the forklift would be able to charge while it's driving and you would never have to stop for charging. Those kind of applications in industry are probably going to take off commercially long before the EVs.
Because, Wold says, wireless charging itself needs to become more widespread before people can start talking about embedding power coils under roadways. NREX is planning to install inductive chargers in Florida along a mile of highway west of Orlando. Utah State University's Aspire Center is also part of that project. But Wold says smaller enclosed facilities, like warehouses or even ports, present more controlled environments for fleet operators and government regulators to see how it works, while making sure there aren't any safety concerns related to the charging equipment.
One issue a lot of people are worried about is if you have a pacemaker, for instance, and you have an electric field, can it fiddle with your pacemaker, which would not be really a good thing.
There are other issues that need to be worked out too, like making sure that wireless charging for EVs is standardized, as it is for smartphones and other small electronics.
If you look at the long term, there's a lot of things that needs to be in place. There's still standardization to be done, and there needs to be much more interoperability between the different companies that are active in this. Right now, you have to have a standard that is great enough that one manufacturer can make a pickup for a car and it can drive on something that somebody else manufactured.
Once the technology starts becoming more common, Wold thinks things will start moving fast.
The technology is there. It's just about productifying it. But then at the end of the day, if you want to do it big scale, you are dependent on so much more, right? This is not something that can be done in a vacuum by some few producers of wireless charging. It needs to be part of a bigger plan.
But that bigger plan would have to be really big. Like, for example, U.S. interstate highway system big, which brings us back to Regan Zane.
Let's take Utah, for example. We could electrify 50 miles in an urban corridor between, you know, two cities and cover the majority of our population. But our population isn't confined to Utah. They go to Las Vegas and LA and Denver and Seattle. So you wouldn't get adoption even if we electrified, you know, one significant urban corridor. You really need to go from Salt Lake to Denver, link up Salt Lake down to Los Angeles. We need to finish up the triangle from Los Angeles to San Francisco and back up to Salt Lake.
All of which would need a lot more coordination and cost a lot more than pouring regular old asphalt. Like what Electrion has had to grapple with in Detroit, but on an even larger and more complicated scale.
Key arteries, interstate highways, the national highway system, urban roads, corridors within the cities. If we can deliver the power where the majority of the energy is being used, we cut that middle component out and we make the whole system far more effective.
Zane says big infrastructure investments would need to happen at scale from the very beginning for an electric roadway system to be effective and to be adopted by drivers and automakers alike.
This needs to catch traction before we start converting individual end users. And this couldn't be a more critical time as we're investing in infrastructure to make careful decisions on how this infrastructure would be developed for tomorrow.
The Future of Everything is a production of The Wall Street Journal. Stephanie Ilgenfritz is the editorial director of The Future of Everything. This episode was produced by me, Danny Lewis. Our fact checker is Aparna Nathan. Michael Laval and Jessica Fenton are our sound designers and wrote our theme music. Catherine Millsop is our supervising producer. Aisha Al-Muslim is our development producer. Scott Salloway and Chris Zinsley are the deputy editors. And Falana Patterson is the head of news audio for The Wall Street Journal. Like the show? Tell your friends and leave us a 5-star review on your favorite platform. Thanks for listening.